Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good afternoon and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio, I'm so sorry. This is Connecting Women of Influence, Women Lead Radio. I'm your host, Quinn Tu, for Doing Good is Good for Business, and today I am so delighted to have with me Stephen Griswold, and he is with Griswold Insurance, and we are going to talk about a really interesting subject that I just started to learn about. Stephen comes from a family business of insurance, and why don't you introduce yourself to our guest, Stephen?
Oh, yeah, of course. Thank you, Quinn. So my name is Steve Griswold, a second-generation insurance broker. My dad started the company back in 1948. I took over in 2006 and I've been running it my way for the past 13 years. We have actually two agencies that we run under our banner. We have Griswold and Griswold Insurance Agency, which we focus on very high-level risk profiles. And I also started Vegan Insurance, actually Vegan and Animal Professionals Insurance Agency in 2017 to service the vegan market.
Okay, so you first came and we connected to Griswold and Griswold Insurance. And you came on my radar because you are both a certified B Corp and a benefit corporation. And I think you just shared with me some good news before the show. I'd love for you to share that with the listeners as well. What award did you receive this year?
Oh, thank you. We received honors as best for the world by B Corp in three different categories: governance, community, and change maker. So the change maker category being the highest percentage of change in the last assessment. We increased our score almost 20% from our assessment before that. So we're constantly improving what we do. But at this point, I think technically, not officially, we might be the most ethical insurance agency in the world.
So talk to us about that. What does it mean to be the most ethical insurance company in the world? That's a pretty big title.
Yeah. So again, not an official one, but I'm claiming it anyway. But we we strive to really provide a service level and accountability far beyond what any of our competitors do. We have a very, very strong concentration with nonprofits. On our vegan side, we work with many, many animal rights organizations, animal sanctuaries, festivals that are nonprofit. We give back somewhere around 10 to 20% of our income to our nonprofit clients. And we have a tremendous level of accountability in terms of what we do.
So you mentioned that when you took over the company from your dad, you started to run it your own way. You obviously have put your signature on it by becoming a social enterprise and getting involved in the B Corp movement. But then you mentioned to me a short time ago when we checked in before the show that you created this whole new vegan line of insurance. And you mentioned briefly about that, but I'd like to hear more and give our listeners a taste of how you got to the idea of being insurance for the vegan world.
Sure. So I became vegan about almost 8 years ago, and it was about 3 years ago when I realized that there was The vegan community was rapidly growing, not just in terms of overall presence, but number of new companies and the number of just new industries that were sprouting out of a vegan mindset. And it occurred to me that after doing a web search that there is no agency in the world supporting vegan companies as a main mission goal. So I created Vegan and Animal Professionals out of that intention, and it just started picking up steam from there. Just as we've developed it, it's really become we're in a very red ocean industry where insurance is tremendously competitive and people are fighting over SEO and fighting over the same clients. And by creating this, I've created my own blue ocean. Which means I have almost no competition, and am able to really leverage the fact that we specialize in vegan businesses and vegan nonprofits, and our mission alignment with these companies to ensure that we're going to be the best person to work with.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, I can understand, you know, clothing companies being vegan or, definitely the food industry, but you know, when you think of insurance, you're just thinking it's a whole bunch of policies that you're selling people, you know, how, and your mind works in a way that is just, I bow down to you. I would never have thought of that. So since having that focus, what has that meant for you as a business?
So it really actually has a focus on, well, what more can we do for the vegan community? Because as you mentioned, it is just policies, right? So a lot of the questions we get at first are, well, what is vegan insurance? Or like, how is this different? And, you know, our main and primary goal with our clients is our mission alignment, right? By being vegan and by understanding that it's not just about the business, it's the impact your business is making on the world and on the animals. And everything related to that being copacetic. We're actually evolving our model to build things specifically for the vegan industry. So one area of one industry that's particularly difficult to handle is animal sanctuaries, just because of how they're run or how their property is insured, and we're designing a customized solution for this industry specifically to handle this unique exposure.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I would never have thought of that, but it makes a lot of sense. And yeah, it would make sense to work with a company that specializes in, you know, this is all we do and this is how we do it. Are you working with major insurance carriers? Or are these more specialized insurance carriers? How are they receiving it?
So we're working with a combination of both. We're finding that the very, very large insurers tend to give us a little bit of, I call it side eye when we're dealing with these risks. They're not being particularly helpful. And some of these smaller either insurers or what's called program administrators are starting to understand what we're trying to accomplish. So we're able to really, we've gotten some good contacts in within the insurance industry that understand what we're trying to ultimately do and are helping us design and build these products, which we hope to put together in the next few years.
And with this particular focus, have you changed of anything about the way you've run your business? Because you now have two businesses that are both mission-driven, but mission-driven in a very different way. Or are they mission-driven in the same way?
I mean, you know, they have different missions, but I think the ultimate goal of both is they're kind of intertwined, so you know I can't really run them as separate businesses. I run everything as I would trying to make the most I can out of what we have and do the best for not just our clients but my employees as well. really in line with the B Corp standard. I'm a big practitioner of Kaizen, so I love continuous, consistent improvement. And whether that's making your office completely virtual and having everybody work from home starting earlier this year, we're actually talking about using the most recent research in a reduced work week to see if we can increase productivity. So I'm really doing everything I can. Not just for our clients, but for all of my team as well.
So are you looking into reduced work week, like a 4-day on, 1-day off kind of thing? Or?
Yeah. There's evidence from Microsoft, Microsoft Japan that just got released showing a 40% increase in productivity from a 4-day work week. But there's also a similar increase by moving to a 6-hour work day instead of an 8-hour. But given that my staff are tremendously driven and don't like sticking to schedules, I think the 4-day work week might work out better so that I can force them to not work on certain days.
Wow. I feel like I want to drop what I'm doing and come work for you just because you said that. I certainly appreciate employers who understand that productivity doesn't always mean more hours in the office. And how is staff receiving all of this information?
I think it's hello, are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, my mic just cut out. I'm sorry. Yeah, I really kind of came to this conclusion by having spent the early years of my career grinding away with 60, 80-hour weeks, trying to catch up on work. So I took over the business after my dad passed away, and I had to restart everything from scratch because it was coming from his old paper-driven systems and everything, and I was trying to digitize everything. So I spent about 2 years working 80-hour weeks, and my quality of life was terrible. And over the years, I've realized how much more productive I am by balancing work, my work-life relationship. I have a new child at home, 15 months old, and
congratulations!
Thank you so much. And
you do not sound like a sleep-deprived dad. You do not sound like a sleep-deprived dad.
He sleeps very well now, so we're happy to say. Being able to spend time with him and my wife and maintain our household without having to be a slave to work, it made a tremendous impact on my happiness and health. And being able to pass it down to my employees is so magical because I can tell that they really appreciate the flexibility they have to take care of their own lives when they need to.
Right, because they see you model the example of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So if you had a magic wand, what would you change about your business at this point, if anything?
I think our biggest struggle right now is that we have clients that that understand what we do, but don't appreciate really or really understand our value. We have a very unique system model for our larger clients, and one of our continuous struggles is that we have people inside some of these clients that always try to look for the cheapest. It's always for some people, it's always about what's cheapest or what's fastest, and that's not. That doesn't equal good in insurance, and that's become a struggle to convince clients that we're not going to always find you the least expensive thing, but we will be the best.
Mm-hmm. So that's something that's very common for a lot of business owners, right? Trying to explain to a client why the value is there, even though the initial price may be a lot more than they had expected. Have you found of some good ways to address the concern, or is that an ongoing, depending on who you're talking to, type of solution?
It's contextual, right? But it depends on the client. But for a client that is tremendously value focused or price focused, rather, we've had clients say, well, this broker gave me a quote that's this much less. But we unlike most agencies, we don't just run a quote and send it over. We have our entire team work together as a collective to pick apart contracts and to do really thoughtful analysis of how that integrates with the client's overall portfolio. So yeah, sure, your policy might be 10% cheaper, but you're missing out all these coverages. You're not covering these certain exposures you have. You're lacking this flexibility. So we really think ahead and put a strategy in place for our client's portfolio, where I think a lot of our competition just really focuses on just winning the business without future intention.
So what are some of the most important coverages or key considerations that a business client should have when they're talking to an insurance broker or shopping for insurance based on what you've seen of the industry?
Oh, wow. That could be its own podcast by itself. But it really depends on the business, right? So if you are a startup, I mean, if anytime you're, I think the biggest liabilities for a lot of companies these days are going to be cyber liability. That's always been a hot button for the past several years, continues to be a very hot button in terms of protecting yourself digitally. We have here in California an epidemic of employer employee claims. So we really highly focus on employment practices liability coverage as a key policy for most companies to have. But everything else, it really depends on what the company's doing. And you have to make sure that for people listening, you have to make sure your broker understands your industry intricately and understands what you're doing and where you're going. And so they can plot out a roadmap for insurance for you, and not just finding the quickest, cheapest thing for now.
So what are some key questions that you would say a client should be asking their broker? How many policies you've written for this industry? Is it how long you've been working for this industry? What are some of the benchmarks that would help figure out whether or not the insurance broker is the right fit?
I think asking of their their general experience working with this industry. Do they have carriers specific to this industry? Do they work with any of their competitors? Sometimes it's good to have a broker that works with very similar businesses or even your direct competitors, because they know exactly how the models are run within your industry. And a broker's going to handle things strictly confidentially, so there's no worry about trade secrets being dispersed or anything. But it's good to know. I mean, it might actually be worth finding your competitor and asking who they use for insurance, because that that they're going to be covered properly if they're well run.
That's a very good tip. I never thought about that, but asking your competitor. It would be a great way to find out.
Well, because in regular business, we have a very we have a stigma against talking to our competitors and sharing stuff, because it's depending on the industry, could be very, very competitive. But I've seen a big uptick in business collaboration recently. I in several groups where we have multiple insurance brokers collaborating on mastermind groups and everything. Even though we're all competitors, we all, there's enough business for us to share, really. But I think more industries should collaborate with each other on resource sharing, because some of our best referral streams come from intra-agency intra-agency referrals. Like we work heavily with the cannabis industry, and we get many, many cannabis referrals because dispensary or grower or whatever knows that we know what we're doing, so they'll refer people that they know to us.
Sure. Yeah, and I think it also helps, too, that you set yourself apart as a B Corp, which is known to be a lot more collaborative and open and willing to support one another, too. So you've created communities where that is not as frowned upon. But still, I think for most business owners, the default is not go talk to your competitor, right? And we could talk to our friends, we could talk to our allies, but we don't really think about going to talk to our competitors. And we, as you said, could learn a lot and stand to gain a lot if we just had some of that conversation. If our listeners wanted to get a hold of you and had questions after this podcast, how would you like them to reach you?
They can reach us through our website. We have two. For our regular business insurance, it's gxg.ai. I'm really proud of that website. It's very, very, very much breaks the mold of insurance agency websites. And we have veganinsurance.com. It's our vegan division.
Great. Thank you. And we'll put that up on the show note for people who've missed it. In our next few minutes, I kind of want to talk to you about what inspires you to do what you do. You talked a little bit about the ability to have work-life balance and be able to spend time with your family. But is there something else that drives you to continue in this industry that you've inherited from your dad?
I think I really clicked on the fact that my dad was one of the earliest, collaborators in our industry. It didn't really occur to me until a few years ago that he made his name not by selling a lot of insurance, which he did, but he was such a good networker and a problem solver. So he would use all leverage to find solutions for clients inside or outside of their scope of insurance. And seeing what he built based on that really inspired me. And so, my goal isn't just to sell insurance. I mean, that's a fun part, and the problem solving is really, really fun, and being able to collaborate with my team is great. But being able to be this fantastic resource to my clients and solve problems that they've been struggling with for weeks or months or years, that's so satisfying to me, just to be a source of solution for people.
Wow, that's so inspiring. There isn't anything better than being able to be a problem solver, because you've made somebody's life easier or source of stress for them based on so given your area of expertise, do you see a particular challenge or issue that the insurance industry is facing in the next few years?
I see a few on the horizon. Well, the immediate one is the technology and talent gap. I mean, the insurance industry has never been known for being particularly tech forward, but we're finally seeing that become addressed. We have so much going on in what's called the world of insurtech. One of my staff actually just got back from an insurtech conference in Connecticut, and the amount of automation and digitization going on in the industry is unprecedented, and we'll finally be considered a high tech industry in the next 5 years. Instead of just a bunch of people, stacking papers in an office, the talent gap is becoming real. We're finding a lot of producers and a lot of agency staff are aging out or retiring, and inspiring younger people to join the insurance industry is definitely a challenge. And I think that the next one will have to wait till next year, because as everybody knows, healthcare is a big, big topic next year. And we're waiting to see whether we're going to have a presidential candidate next year that will be pushing, Medicare for All or some other sort of big sea change in how we address this in the U.S. And that's, you know, it's important. It's an important conversation. And I think we need to be ready for that.
Yeah, well, and that's definitely a conversation that could take over like more than one podcast, the health industry. But going back to something you said earlier, inspiring younger people to get into the industry, what do you think that's going to look like?
There's actually been quite a few articles in recent publications about exactly that. How are we going to inspire these millennials and post-millennials to who are very, very tech focused into an industry that may not be as high tech as or have the cachet of a tech company or a startup. And it's really kind of building a good culture and building letting people spread their wings is as to what you know, who they are and what their talents are. I mean, my entire business model that I've developed is predicated on finding these young people with incredible talent and giving them the opportunity to use that talent to the best of their ability in our framework. And I don't corral them into specific roles. And if I find that they're working really well in a certain type of industry or project, whatever, I let them run with it. And I think that freedom and that collaboration is important.
Yeah, well, and it also seems like you've developed a very niche area in veganism and also with the social enterprise that could be very attractive to retaining talent as well, right? There are a number of young people who are more conscientious about what they put in their body, and they can certainly get behind a company that does that, so...
Yeah, I find a lot of people now they don't just need a paycheck or a fun job, they need a why, and mm-hmm. I'm providing that why, and I think that's super important. For it doesn't matter what industry you are or what you do, I think giving people who work for you a why they're working there is super important.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's a better or more inspirational phrase to end the show on than that, but. Absolutely true. And we'll have to do, you know, a follow-up with you to see how the focus and the shift has not attracted the talent that you need in order to continue having a successful and thriving business. Any last words you would like to share with our audience before we wrap up the show?
I think that pretty much does it. But thank you so much for having me on, Quinn.
Oh, you're most welcome. I mean, you've shared a lot of very useful tidbits on shopping for insurance, thinking about the insurance company as a whole that I just hadn't ever occurred to me, and I'm sure our listeners as well. So I really appreciate your time and expertise, and it's been my pleasure to have you as a guest on my show. I want to thank our listeners for listening, both our national and international listeners, and we're here every Monday at 2 p.m. and every Fridays at 2 p.m. In the meantime, I just want to keep saying that when your business does good for the people, the planet, and your profit, so keep doing good, everybody.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.